Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be beginning another week with you as we dive into God's Word and see what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. And if you joined me last week, we spent some time with a guest. And so I would encourage you, if you didn't hear the shows from last week, go listen to last week's shows. You can listen on Ave Maria's website, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we began kind of a series that we're going to be doing here throughout the summer, where it's just like a way that we can read scripture with friends. And what I wanted to show is when we open up God's word with other people, how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us to be able to talk about God's word together. Because it's important for us to listen to resources. It's important for us to read scripture on our own. But what happens when we begin to chew on it together is something really special. And so we wanted to do a little bit of show and tell, in a sense, of to say, this is how you do it. It's really simple. It's not intimidating. And so Annie Randolph, a local college girl, and I did it last week. And today I'm going to be on my own. And then over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have another guest as well with us, just showing us how we do this. And before you go listen to any of the other ones from last week, I want you to know Annie and I did not plan out what we were going to say. We just opened up God's word and we saw where the Holy Spirit led us. And so I want you to take this, even if you didn't listen, take this as an encouragement and a challenge this summer to say, not only am I going to increase reading God's word, not only am I going to pray with it more, but I'm going to actually bring it into my community. How can this strengthen my community? How can we stir one another up in love? And so last week, we went through a passage as a part of Hebrews chapter 10, Annie and I did, and we had some great conversations about hope, about faith, about these fundamental themes really that we've been talking about together on our journey through God's word. And so as I was praying, I felt like the Lord was really leading me again to Hebrews 10. And so we're going to pick up where we left off and read kind of the second half of Hebrews chapter 10 and spend some time going over that this week together. So as usual, we're going to pray and then we're going to dive into Hebrews chapter 10. But I wanted to read as we're starting, I know we started this a couple weeks ago, I wanted to read as part of our prayer in the beginning, a little bit of a psalm, and we're going to do that each week. So we're going to start Psalm 7. So if you want to join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Lord my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil or without cease have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. Lord, we just come to you, and you we take refuge. And as we go through this passage, we just pray this Psalm 7, that we may see you for both your mercy and your justice, that we take refuge in you, but you know that you bring vengeance and retribution against those who are evil, those who are unjust. And so we hide, Lord, in the shadow of your wings. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I've been loving doing that, of just reading, even in my own prayer, through a little bit of the Psalms. Like sometimes the Psalms can be very joyful, sometimes they can be intense, but even as we read that one, it shows us the heart and the nature of God in multiple different ways, right? How God is our refuge, but also he's a God of justice. He's a God that brings justice, that repays evil, and that's something that we want. And that's a little bit what we're going to see in that rest of Hebrews 10. And so we're going to be starting in Hebrews 10, verse 26. And I want to give a little primer that we gave last week. Hebrews, it was a book for the priests, right? And so you had the Levites, and the Levites were the priests that offered sacrifice for sin on behalf of the Israelites. And so they were the only ones who could go into the Holy of Holies. They were the only ones who could offer sacrifice, who could go near the Ark of the Covenant. And so what you see building up in Hebrews chapter 10 is there's a picture being painted of the sanctuary. and saying, in days of old, the Ark of the Covenant, which held the manna from heaven, so this center, the bread from heaven, the bread of God, the bread of life, which is what we have in the Eucharist, could only be approached by these certain people, by these certain priests. And so he's saying, on Yom Kippur, on the high holy days, these priests went and offered sacrifice for sin. They offered on behalf of the people, and it was only that time that the people were cleansed. And so what we're seeing in Hebrews 10 is this amazing, and building throughout Hebrews, this is amazing reality that Jesus is now our great high priest. Not just our high priest, but our great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness, who has come on behalf of the people and opened up the sanctuary for all. And so now sin offering isn't made once a year. Jesus has made an offering on the cross for us so we can be cleansed by his blood once and for all. So now we have confidence. Literally, friends, the Israelites physically could not enter this part of the temple. And now not only can we enter the temple, can we come into the church, can we be near the tabernacle, we are the temple. We are the tabernacle. And Jesus' sacrifice has given us the boldness to enter in. This is what has happened to us. And so Paul says right before the passage right before 23 to 25 in Hebrews 10, he says this, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. We read this last week. For he who promised is faithful. The great high priest is faithful. And let us now consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we read that last week, but what I wanted to draw from here as we jump into our new passage, beginning in verse 26, is this last sentence, the day drawing near. So we see in Hebrews, we see Jesus has made the sacrifice for us, which has opened us a new and living way. A sacrifice has been made for your sins. But now because of that, a day, a new day is drawing near, the second coming of Christ. And this is what we're living for. The day in my Bible is capitalized. This day when Christ will return again. And this is the context in which the next section is coming, the day of judgment, the day of salvation. And I'm going to read a little paragraph here, Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. A man who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more punishment do you think will be deserved by the man who has spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We're going to read more, but I'm going to stop there because that's an intense paragraph. And you might be reading and you're like, wait, I like when we talk about the stuff of like the hope we've been called and our identity in Christ and what Jesus has done for us. This stuff that we read in the Psalm and here at the beginning where it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God and God's vengeance and God's judgments. That's not something I want to talk about, right? But friends, it's so important that we spend some time getting into this because God cannot be merciful if he is not also just. And we can't focus just on the aspects of God, just on the aspects of Jesus that we like or we relate to or that make us feel good. Because remember, the context of this part of the passage is the day that's drawing near. We're holding fast to a confession of our hope because there is a day that's drawing near. Yes, a day of salvation, but a day of judgment. A day in which Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead and his kingdom will have no end. But what's being written here to the Hebrews is he's saying we need to have the right kind of fear, a fearful prospect of judgment. That what helps us live rightly is to know what is to come, to know that we have a God who's perfectly merciful and perfectly just, who has to exact a punishment on those who refuse him. And so we need to take stock of how are we refusing to live in the light. He's saying now,
Now that Jesus has come and made a sacrifice for sin, we cannot deliberately continue to live in darkness. And something I want to clear up is this part where it says, if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. What this is not saying is that there's not forgiveness of sins after you've sinned and fallen. Like, this is not saying that there's like only a certain amount of times you can fall. It's not saying that the forgiveness of sin ever goes away. What it's getting at is that for those who choose to persist in darkness, if they continue to persist deliberately in sin that God is offering them for forgiveness for, but they choose to not repent, that sacrifice for sin cannot be applied to them. And so I think this is why it's important that we look at our own lives and even carry this for the world, right? Because I think sometimes we just assume that, like, oh, people are going to be fine. They're going to be fine on the day of judgment. People will not be fine on the day of judgment. We will not be fine on the day of judgment if we continue to deliberately walk in sin. The reality is that there is a judgment coming, and we will be judged by our hearts and by our deeds. And there is full forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of Jesus, but we have to let the knowledge of truth penetrate our hearts. And friends, if we know what is true and we continue to deliberately go against it without repentance, without true desire to change, we cannot live in the presumption of mercy. We are living in an age of mercy, but as the church prophetically says through the apparitions of Mary and all these things, there's an amazing age of mercy happening right now. But at a certain point, God will begin to close those doors in a sense and begin to exact his judgment, because it's what it means to be just. It's what it means to be good. And so there's a way in which it doesn't make God less loving. It's not saying we should be scared of him. But we should have a healthy amount of fear in saying, am I presuming God's mercy? Am I like having a temptation in my head and being like, well, I'm just going to follow through on the temptation because I'm going to go to confession anyway? Are we presuming that God would be merciful? Are we fighting our inclination to sin? Are we constantly asking the light of the Holy Spirit to show us, enlighten my heart, enlighten the ways that my ego is set up against God. Give us, we should pray this, friends. God, give me a fearful prospect of judgment, that I may live in light of the day that is drawing near, fully in God's mercy, but with healthy fear of the Lord, knowing that I will be held accountable for my deeds. And so, friends, this is the beginning. We're going to continue to build on this. You might be like, okay, this is not what I signed up for to listen to on a Monday or whenever you're listening to this. But this is an important thing to have in our hearts. We have to have the full picture of God, that he is so loving that he will have mercy on us, that he is so loving that he will exact judgment on our hearts. We need God to judge us. And we will expand on that more, but we need to continue to live in the light of the knowledge of truth so that we can live not for today, but for the day that is drawing near. So Lord, we pray as we end this episode today that you would give us a fearful prospect of your judgment and enlighten our hearts to ways that we may be deliberately persisting in our sin. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow as we continue in Hebrews 10. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.